Good morning, friends. And I do call you friends, as I do all who are followers of Jesus. Now, some of you may know me as the twin, but many more of you probably know me as Doubting Thomas, a nickname I have been given over centuries, all because of one incident after the resurrection. There have been many stories about me, and I cannot tell you how many people have asked me about touching Jesus' wounds. And then there are those who want to know how I came to know the truth about Jesus. So I've come today to set the record straight. From the beginning, I was the one who asked the questions, but also I was the one to commit myself heart and soul and body to following Jesus. When Lazarus died, and Jesus called us to go with him to be with his family, I was the one who said, "Let us go that we might die with him." I knew at that point that our teacher was in danger of being killed. Then, before he was executed, I was the one who asked Jesus how we would follow him if we didn't know the way. It was then he gently told us about the coming of the Holy Spirit, who would guide us. And then there is my encounter with him in the upper room with the other disciples. Now, I had not been present when the others had seen the risen Lord for the first time. I simply could not believe what they told me about it. And I said as much, and I expressed that in order to believe, I needed to see his wounds to verify that it was, in fact, him. They had that experience, and I wanted to have it as well. It was that experience that had taken away their fear and enabled them to proclaim Jesus as risen from the dead. Now, what is that saying you all have? Trust, but verify. Now, most of us want tangible signs that God is at work in our lives when what we have been praying for comes to fruition. When something good we weren't expecting happens, we call that a blessing from God. Likewise, when prayers go unanswered, or when it seems we cannot cut a break in this life, when one thing after another hits us, and we wonder if God has just simply left us to struggle on our own. But I figured Jesus would appear to me at some point, maybe along a road or by a riverbank. I did not at all expect him, though, to return to the upper room. After all, he'd already appeared to everyone else there. But I was wrong. Jesus came back when we were all together again. Jesus greeted all of us and then turned directly to me and looked me in the eye. And he offered me whatever I needed in order to experience for myself the power of the resurrection and believe. But the truth is, I did not need to put my hands into his side. I did not need to touch the wounds on his hands. What I realized at that moment was that what is eternal cannot be seen. It's invisible. If I could touch the wounds, it would still only be temporal. If I could understand it, it may have only been my human thought, shaped by my prior knowledge, hemmed in by my own perspective. For my thoughts are not God's thoughts. My mind is so limited in what it can comprehend when it comes to God. What I did understand when I was in the presence of the risen Lord was God's omniscience, God's omnipresence, God's omnipotence, and my very limited nature. What I understood in the presence of the risen Lord is the mystery that comes with our faith. Some things cannot be explained or seen or touched, but must simply be accepted as mystery, truth that is beyond our understanding. Sometimes we must trust in God's mercy rather than our ability to figure everything out. It was a big day for me. For sure. But here's the truth of the matter, and you can look it up in your gospel. I never actually touched him. I decided I didn't need to do that at all. I believed, but it was not because of what I saw or what I touched with my own hands. I believed because I was experiencing the mercy of God. That's the mystery in which I live and will die. The mystery of God's mercy shown to me time and time again. The mercy shown me in my unbelief is what led me to trust the mystery that is faith. Now, you might think after such an experience, I never questioned again. I never doubted. But you would be wrong. It's in my very nature to ask questions, and that did not change, to raise doubts. But every time I do, I renew my faith. Not because I get answers, because I don't always, but because with each question comes a deeper faith and acceptance of that mystery, as well as a new commitment to follow Jesus. But there's more I want you to understand. It was not my believing which brought Christ alive to me, and my doubting did nothing to cripple Christ's resurrection and appearance to us. Jesus handled my doubts with mercy. Jesus made a special effort to meet me where I was and to give me what I needed in order to believe. Jesus does that for all of us. Jesus continues to meet me where I am and to show mercy to me. In this way, Jesus fulfills that baptismal promise to claim me as God's own. I don't claim to fully understand the how or the why of it, but I did not need anything more than an experience of Christ's mercy in order to believe. And that, my friends, is the gift of the mystery of faith. We don't have to understand it all to believe. We don't have to have all the answers to grow closer to God. It's okay to doubt, and it's okay to question, because it then causes us to look deeper into who God is and where God is at work in the world. We'll never know all of it, though we'll be tempted to think we do. And we start spouting off about God's will about this or what God's will or won't do in the world. The truth is, we will never fully know everything we know. Even everything we can imagine falls short of all God is and does. Before I go, I want to leave you with one more message. The most important thing I can tell you today is to stay with the church. Even when it makes you angry, even when it makes you sad, or even when it hurts you, because, you know, we don't leave our human natures back there at the door when we walk in the sanctuary doors. Because the church, while it was created by Jesus, it's made up of flawed human beings. And mistakes will happen. Sin will happen. All you have to do is look at the history of our church throughout the Christian faith. It will happen. Jesus came to me when the disciples were all together. He never came to me with such power when I was all by myself. Moreover, you need to hear the stories of Christ's followers, and you need them to listen to your stories as well. Since we're dealing with the mystery of faith, with what can never be tied neatly into a package, we have to be wary of the possibility for distortion, which is more apt to happen when we're left totally to our own devices. We need the biblical story and the stories of each other's experiences, our experiences with the risen Lord, in order to fully grasp our own life experiences. We need the experiences of each other, of the whole church. Of course, the church will never be able to give you all the answers, so if you come looking for them, ain't gonna happen. For even together, we live in that mystery of who God is and how God works. But the church can help you to recognize Christ's presence in our midst. The church can help you to live in Christ's mercy and help you to extend that mercy out to others. The church is also who will be with you when you question and when you doubt. When you struggle and there is pain, from life in the world. Jesus told us as he prepared to leave us to love one another as he had loved us. Jesus always, all the way along, meant for us to be in community. This is not meant to be some kind of individual faith. He knew the life of faith lived alone was impossible. It was meant to be expressed in relationships. This is the mystery of our faith. Thus, I tell you my story in order to nurture your faith. Blessed are all you who see, who believe without seeing. Blessed are you for your belief. Thanks be to God. Amen.